Pam Hopman, best-selling author and financial businesswoman, on the Business Radio Network with Empower You.
Hello and welcome to Empower You on Tucson Business Radio X. We are live here at the Stewart Title Studio in Tucson, Arizona. My name is Pam Hopman. I am the founder of the Hopman Group, LLC. We are a group of financially based companies here in Tucson dedicated to helping our clients reach their financial dreams and desires. But this show is about empowering others as well as who and what has empowered you in your life. Empower is a verb. The definition is to give someone the authority or power to do something or make someone stronger and more confident, especially in controlling their life and claiming their right. How do you empower others is our main theme. Today, our guests are Marie Gooch, Bevan Dunn, and Debbie Shepherd. So let's start with Marie. Marie is the owner of Positively Styled with Marie and a stylist with Cabbie Clothing. After 25 years as a nationally recognized sales trainer and performance coach, she set out on a mission to help women of all sizes and shapes feel confident and beautiful while discovering their own unique style. She brings energy, enthusiasm, positivity, and most importantly, a sense of fun to all of her client relationships. Welcome, Marie. It's a pleasure to have you here on the show.
Thanks, Pam. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm so glad. Our next guest is Bevan Dunn. Bevan is a portrait photographer and designer. She works on location throughout Tucson and in her private studio. She specializes in headshots and personal branding, as well as her confidence-building Art of Woman portrait sessions. She has a wonderful nonprofit called Temwani Children's Foundation that educates and feeds orphaned and vulnerable children in Zambia, Africa. Currently, she is launching a new lifestyle collection of clothing and accessories made with vintage silks and hand-dyed textiles. Welcome, Bevan. I'm so glad you could be with us today.
Thanks, Pam, and I'm excited to see Marie here, too.
It's great to have you all here. And finally, we welcome Debbie Shepherd to the show. Debbie has been in the beauty industry for almost as long as she's been around. Starting young, she received her cosmetology license before graduating from high school. It has always been her passion. She has owned many salons, training, and mentoring many successful stylists. Currently, she is a senior national color educator for the Paul Mitchell Company, where she travels and educates other stylists all over the nation. Debbie has worked and trained stylists in the Look Good, Feel Better program for the American Cancer Society, helping women going through chemotherapy and the loss of hair to feel better about themselves. Debbie is very knowledgeable about all aspects of hair and hair color, as well as corrective color and new techniques. Debbie, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Pam.
Oh, it's so great. You know, you can maybe do a little touch-up later. I don't know. So today we want to emphasize what a difference feeling good about yourself, feeling your best on a daily basis can make you. So we're exploring how looking your best is a critical aspect of feeling your best. So what do each of you see as contributions to helping the women and men you work with in this area? So for instance, Marie, in your private shopping sessions or even the party setting, why does that make such a difference for people when they're working with you?
Well, in this day and age, I'm speaking here mostly about women's clothing. In this day and age, the array of choices are mind-boggling. Think about it. You can shop from anywhere in the world for clothing. If you happen to be super tall and super thin, well, you can pretty much wear everything. But most women really have to be selective in terms of what they wear. You know, only certain styles are going to fit and really flatter each type of body. So I'm able to work with my clients one-to-one to really discover what clothing is going to make them look and feel the best. And, you know, a good clothing day is kind of like a good hair day. When you got one, you feel confident, you feel comfortable. And there was actually an interesting study done by Northwestern University that found that when we feel good in our clothes, it not only impacts how we feel, it also impacts how we act. So we may be more productive. We may be a little more adventurous. And that in turn leads to us feeling better about ourselves as well.
And I think there's a real power in when you have your, when we have the party situation mm-hmm. where people come in and try on clothes. It's like a sisterhood.
Yes.
Because you have a group of women in that party and they're all, you know, critiquing each other, but in a very positive way. Can you say a little more about that?
Sure. You know, I think we've probably all, when shopping on our own, have made some emotional buying decisions. We've may have fallen in love with a piece that we love the color, we love the pattern, maybe it looks great on the model. It doesn't work so well on us, but we talk ourselves into it. We tell ourselves, oh, if I just wear a different pair of pants, or if I put on three pairs of Spanx, maybe I can make this work. Whereas when you're shopping with girlfriends, your girlfriends will be honest with you. They'll be honest with you as far as what won't work. Don't rely on your husbands to do that. They just won't. Your girlfriends will be honest as if a piece is not working. And I've also seen women really challenge other women to step a little outside of their comfort zone and maybe try on a different style or a different color that woman felt, oh, I can't do that. You know, I'm too old for that, or I don't have the right body for that. And it's just so gratifying when you see a woman wear something, put on something new, and she's like, wow, you know, I can do that. I can look amazing in this. And girlfriends are great for that.
And we're going to come back to that particular thing again. Bevan, Debbie, have you ever gone shopping and you've had a salesperson try to talk you into buying something that you really in your gut knew wasn't the right thing for you?
Yes. I've actually bought clothing, and when I got home, my son said, oh, Mom, don't ever wear that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marie's not like that. Marie actually is really great about making you feel good about yourself, and it's the right clothing for you.
Well, I wanted to comment on what Marie was saying, because one of the top things that people ask me in their photo shoots, whether it's a headshot or a family or Art of Women shoot, is what should I wear? Mm-hmm. You know, they're not very confident in the clothing that they have or how to style it to project the image that they want to convey. Especially, you know, when you think about headshots, it's really about your business and branding yourself. And if you're not even confident in what you're wearing, and this is the image you're putting out to all your clients and, you know, not to mention your friends and colleagues, you're not going to be confident in your picture, no matter what your expression is. And so that's a big part of what I'm doing. Actually, yep. I didn't realize when I first started my photography work how much of what I do would be styling. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hair and makeup styling, but a lot of it is the clothing styling and just saying, hey, here's what I recommend. You know, bring those things. Just bring half your closet if you want, and I will help you pick out what's going to look good in a photo and give them that confidence.
Color's a big thing, too. If people are in the wrong color, not only in their hairstyle color-wise, but also their clothing, their skin color will be sallow and look, mm-hmm. It just doesn't look good on them. So that color is very important, too.
For sure.
And Bevan, tell us about your Art of Women sessions. Why do 95% of your clients believe in the zombie apocalypse?
So the reason I put that as a question is because, and this is really any of my sessions, the majority of my clients will start out when they're, you know, we're talking about what they want to accomplish in their portraits with a dire prediction of the future and how they don't look good in photos, how they've never taken a good photo, how they have always hated every picture that was ever taken of them. And consequently, you know, Quentley, that this photo shoot is going to be in ruins and tatters. There's going to be carnage. This is going to be awful. Even if they like every other picture I've ever taken of anyone else. Most people, men and women, are not very confident in themselves, in particular in images of themselves that have to grow out where other people see them. And that's, you know, a big part of also what I'm doing is trying to help build confidence both before the session, you know, however I can support them in these, you know, styling choices, et cetera, during the session, and then after the session, you know, helping them choose. Now, the Art of Women sessions in particular are pretty sensitive. These are sessions that are meant to be confidence building sessions for mostly for, you know, women. When women are younger, like teens, for instance, they're really exploring all different sides to themselves. And so they'll say things like, you know, everybody thinks I'm really shy, but, you know, when I'm with my friends, I'm really outgoing. Or, you know, I'm a cheerleader. Everybody, you know, knows that about me, but I'm kind of quiet and I have this dark side. And they really want to explore all those different sides of themselves. And then as women get older, I think they kind of go into a lane that they have to be in, and then no one ever asks them about themselves again. You know, their moms, their busy moms, they'll cry in just the session where we're talking about what they want to do because they've given up their careers for their families and there's no sort of me time for them anymore. And then after, well, even during their sessions, I had one woman. She was a friend, and she actually has terminal cancer. And it wasn't even a real planned photo session, but I wanted to do some portraits of her. And, you know, she hadn't seen the pictures yet. She was on her way home from the airport. She called me, and she said, you know what? I'm sitting here. I'm looking at all these women around me, and I just realized there's something beautiful about every mm-hmm. single one of them. Like, just the experience of someone taking the time to pay attention to her and just make her feel like herself and feel beautiful made her realize that there's that same thing in every person. Like, that's mm-hmm. really powerful. That's nothing to do so far and about actually taking the photos or seeing them. Of course, that's a completely different experience that builds a lot of confidence.
I just want to say I've been photographed by Bevan, and I've never felt like a supermodel before in my life, but I did that day. I was 50 years old, and I just felt so beautiful and amazing, and that you were so good at bringing that out of your clients. I love that about you.
Thank you so much, Marie. And I do want to note that it's not about age, because I'll have a lot of women say to me, and you know, you guys both, I'm sure, hear things like this. Like, I'm too old mm-hmm. to get my picture taken or to look beautiful or to feel good about myself anymore. I mean, my latest client was her 75th birthday, and she wanted to take pictures for herself and to give to her family, especially with some, you know, upcoming health things. Another gal is turning 70, and she has beautiful portraits of her grandmother, her mother, and she wants to have one of her to put out on the invitation. And I just think that's wonderful. It, you know, significant birthdays are a big time that I work with women, but it's not about age. It's about how you feel.
But you do such, I mean, you create such a magical event when you do headshots, when you did my professional branding shots. People look at those shots and like, oh my gosh, look at how beautiful you are. And, you know, I'm not the kind of person who goes around thinking I'm beautiful. I'm okay, but I'm never going to think that I'm beautiful. But I look at those pictures and I'm like, how did she capture this? How did she do this? Because they are so wonderful. And I get compliment after compliment every time I show them. People are like, oh, I love those colors. Oh, look at how she did that. And look at the background. And you did. You took me and you put some combinations on me that I normally wouldn't wear. Mm-hmm. I just trusted you and let go. So I know what you did. I know what you can do. Tell me, what's the best thing someone ever said to you after a shoot?
Oh my gosh. You know, I think it's not so much what they say, but it's how I see them act. Because sometimes when people first see images, they're a little afraid of them because they're not used to looking beautiful or feeling good about themselves. So they don't know how to react. You know, sometimes they cry. That actually, you know, I know that then they, you know, that they feel good. Not cry in a bad way, cry in a good way. But it's when later on, you know, like at first they might be a little afraid to show their pictures. Then I see them putting them everywhere. And then you realize that they have suddenly become comfortable with themselves and they're ready to share that confidence. That's, to me, like the greatest thing, is when people use their images and they're not afraid to and they're happy to. And they get their Facebook effect where they post the picture and then boom, you know, there's like 108 comments and, you know, I don't know how many likes, much more so than most of their posts, because people want to celebrate you. You know, we don't want to celebrate ourselves that much, but other people do. That makes me feel good.
And it'd be great if we celebrated ourselves a little more, too. I think you'll all agree. Debbie, I know that you've probably worked with thousands of women over the years, and you've worked with, I know you make me look beautiful every time I come see you. Well, as beautiful as I can. And so what? Tell me a little bit about what that experience is like when you take a person, they first come and sit in your chair, and you talk about what they want, and then how you get them to that look.
Well, first of all, when they come to me, it's usually for a specific reason. Some of the women are looking for new jobs. Others are just need a basic haircut. But every time they sit in my chair, they see how much better they can look. We discuss basically what they're there for. I ask what their profession is. If it's just a mom, sometimes I get, well, I'm just a soccer mom. Well, even if you're just a soccer mom, you still need to look good. or you need to look good for specific reasons. It could be for their wedding. It could be for their daughter's wedding. It could be for a portrait. It couldn't be for getting a job. During the downturn, I had people who would come in and they would say, well, I can't afford to come in anymore. And that's when I would say, well, here's the deal. You need to get a job. And so you need to look your best. And if you look your best, you feel your best, and you can be more confident, and you will get a job. And I've helped people, I've done their hair for free until they did get a job. And then, you know, it just keeps snowballing on. And I feel comfortable about doing that because I truly know that if you look your best, you feel your best, and you can be more successful at that. It's the, I've worked with the American Cancer Society for about 30 years, and that is the basis of the Look Good, Feel Better program. Is that when people are sick with chemo and they've lost all their hair and sometimes they don't see what's inside, the cancer that's inside, but they see their hair falling out. And that's almost some of the worst times of their life. But if we can help them get a wig and teach them how to put makeup on and they look better, 9 times out of 10, they get feeling better too. And they feel more confident about going out and being in public and being with their family even. They don't want to seem like they're sick. So it's helpful for them to have their crowning glory, which is their hair and their makeup, and make them feel better. And then when they do get feeling better, then it's fun when their hair grows out because we can do so many different things. And I help people with, there's a lot of my clients that come in and they don't have the right hairstyle on their head, and they don't know why they hate their hair. But they come in and they ask me, why do I hate my hair? And so we talk about their face shape and their body type and their how busy they are. We go, you know, what is their lifestyle? Do they have an hour and a half to do their hair? Some of my teenage girls will spend 3 hours doing their hair, but some of my busy moms and my corporate people, they don't have that kind of time. Yeah, bam. Or they don't want to spend that kind of time. They may have that kind of time, but they just don't want to spend that kind of time. And so all of that that goes into me creating a style for them that's going to work for them all the time and make them feel better about themselves all the time when they're in public.
You know, I have the same experience with a lot of clients who will come to me after getting pictures taken with someone else, and they'll get feedback that it doesn't look like them, or they don't like the picture, and they don't even really know why they don't like it, but they don't like it. And it really comes down to talking to them, getting mm-hmm. to know them, because if you're going to someone, whether it's, you know, getting clothing, getting your hair done, getting your picture done, and they don't ask, they don't get to know you. They don't ask any questions. They don't say, you know, what kind of things do you like? You know, what, you know, help you analyze what, you know, your face shape, etc. Then they're just making an assumption about you, and you need to speak up a little bit, you know, in some situations, but, you know, getting to know them is big.
It's huge. People, a lot of times, most of the time will bring me in Pinterest pictures or, oh, I really like this and I really like this. And I look at them and I say, that's great. And here's why I think it will work on you, or here's why I think it won't work on you. And there's times when they've said, well, I don't care if you don't think it doesn't want to work on me. I'm going to go ahead and have that done. And okay, it's your choice. But 100 times out of 100, they will come back a few weeks later and say, you were right. Let's do it your way. And then they're always happier. When when they take my advice, because I am a professional and I do understand all of those things about people and their hair and their face.
Great. Anything to add, Marie?
No, it just struck me that, you know, so many hairdressers don't do that.
That's true.
And it is much like with the personal styling with clothing, having that objective eye and to give that professional advice is, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the hairdresser and they're like, well, what do you want? I don't know.
I don't know. You tell me. You're the professional.
Yeah, you're the professional. Absolutely. So you provide such a valuable service.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I go and train stylists nationally is because there's so many stylists out there that don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. It's not taught in our schools, unfortunately. But it is a talent, too, to be able to look at someone and understand their bone, face, facial shapes, and their hair type, and what's going to work, what isn't going
to
work.
Well, just asking one question sometimes is all you need to do, because even when I'm doing very fast headshots, like employee type headshots, where it's like, you know, kind of boom, boom, boom. If you ask one question, I'll just do something simple like, you know, do you want to look a little more approachable and friendly, or do you want to be a little more conservative and serious, something like that. Well, they may or may not have the answer to that question, but it opens up a line of dialogue where they are then okay to tell you, you know what, I had a stroke and I'm very self-conscious with the right side of my face. I prefer to be shot this way. But if you don't ask anything, you just, you know, sit, boom. They're not going to open up to you and tell you that. Well, that's a huge thing to know. They're not going to like their picture if I'm taking everything from the wrong side of their face that they're very self-conscious about, or if they don't ever smile with their, you know, mouth open, they don't like to show their teeth, whatever it is. Just having a little bit of communication goes a long way to people opening up.
I can see that our listeners need to deal with professionals in all of these areas. So that's great that you're all here today. But let's talk about personal branding. How do each of you help your clients create their personal branding?
Well, to me, a personal branding is when what makes you you, your style, your personality, is combined with your professional identity, if you tend to be a working professional. And it comes together, and when it comes together, at least in clothing, it allows you to really express who you are, what you can do in a way that's really putting your best self out into the world. And I talked earlier about how the millions of choices out there can make shopping more difficult. But it's also nice in this day and age to be able to express ourselves individually, even if we are professional women. I think back to when my mom went back to work, I think it was like 1973. And, you know, in that time, you were in a pant or shirt suit. You were in a blazer. You had a big old bow on your blouse. You wore pantyhose and you wore closed-toed shoes. I mean, that was it. That was, and if you were going to do accessories, they had to be very demure because, you know, at that time for women, you couldn't be too out there in the workforce. So I think really having your unique personality, while you, of course, I mean, you still need to portray yourself as a trusted financial advisor, but you are able to bring you into that equation as well. And so kind of understanding, when I work with women, I say, professional women, I say, you know, first kind of look at how did the successful people in your industry dress? And it can be very different. You know, if you're in the finance world, it's very different than fashion. I can have purple hair. You may not be able to get away with that, Pam, with your clients.
No, but I do remember those Chanel bows.
Yes. So how do the successful people in your industry or the job you want to be at, how are they dressing? And how can you then infuse you into it? If you know, you can bring your sense of you in terms of your accessories, the color you choose, the patterns you wear. All of that. And people make an initial impression of you in 30 to 60 seconds. So particularly if you are a professional woman, you know, wearing your brand and having a brand that you're comfortable with is really, really critical.
And Debbie, how does your work help achieve personal branding?
Well, I always ask, number one, what is their career and who do they want to attract? So you obviously want to attract a different type of people than what a tattoo artist would. So, but I also have the clerk of a court that she's really crazy and she loves to be crazy on the weekends. So she has long hair, so we put a little piece of purple underneath. Mm-hmm. So in the daytime, she can be conservative if she needs to be. And then at night, she can, you know, get her purple out and be a little bit crazy too. So it kind of depends on who you want to attract and what your career is and where you want to go in your career. If you want to be that successful professional person, then I'm going to design something a little bit different than what I would for a teenager or even not even just a teenager, because I have one of my clients wears a purple streak across the front and she's 78 years old. So it just depends on where you want to go and what you want to attract in your life.
Maybe when I'm 78, I'll wear purple.
Okay.
I love about the purple streak behind the hair with the versatility. And I think that's really important with clothing as well. You know, looking for pieces. If you are more of kind of that really fun, crazy personality, but you're in a more buttoned up conservative industry, looking for pieces, you know, whether it's jackets or trousers that you can wear one way at the office, yet style totally different on the weekends or on date night, I think is really, really critical as well. So,
yeah, I love those cabbie tops. They're business in the front and party in the back.
Yep.
And Bevan, what are some examples of how personal branding can positively impact someone's business? Or can you tell us a story maybe of when they didn't take your advice and it went the wrong way?
Sure. Well, so for me, personal branding is really an affirmation of what you do and what you love to do and putting that out through image and styling. And, you know, I have a hair and makeup stylist too, so all of you are a part of what I do. One interesting thing, so I have a session called personal branding, and Pam, you've done this, and Emery, you've done this. It's not about actually one type of image either. I want to put that out there, because when you have a business or when you're really branding yourself, you're having, you know, multiple types of clients, you're in different situations. The picture you want to use or the unique assets you have that you want to project may be very different when you are speaking at a conference than when it's on your personal Facebook page. Or you may have different markets that you go to, and so you need a range of images. So I never tell people what they need to be. I'm asking what they want to be, and we'll do all those sides. Now, when it comes to some interesting stories, well, on the simple level, a lot of people will come to me and say, you know, I actually photograph young. I know we all wish we had this problem, but there are a lot of people who are young professionals in a field, and people think their secretary is their boss, or they're in a financial field and they just photograph very young, but they need people to really trust them. So in those cases, you know, I have to work with them to project that image, you know, in their pictures. I had one client who, just the sweetest person you've ever met, super sweet. But she said that people think that she's cold, and it's because she's very shy. So I think she doesn't maybe interact as much as she would like to. So for her, it was really about overcoming that shyness, which was hard for her in the photography shoot too, to project an image of warmth, to get her to smile, to get her to relax. In fact, at the end of her shoot, I actually told her I needed some test pictures outside at the sun in the sunset, and that was the perfect thing to tell her because she just relaxed and I got the best picture of her. But a really powerful story that comes to mind would be someone I met in a business group, and she really had some of the best professional pictures I've ever seen. And she came to me and said, I need to get some images taken. And I'm like, whoa, how am I going to help her? She already has amazing pictures. And when we sat down to talk about her business and what her goals were, she said that she had been doing an exercise in one of these business group meetings where you get feedback about yourself from other people. And people were giving her words like wild child, party girl, kind of out there. And that really surprised her because that was not the image that she was trying to project. And when you look at her pictures, she looks beautiful. She looks very glamorous, but it was a little too much. It kind of emphasized a lot of tattoos that she had. It was almost a little too overly glamorous for her profession. And so when we took her pictures, you know, we still did hair and makeup. She still looked beautiful, but we were able to tone her image down a little bit. We took some pictures out in nature. You can see, you know, a little bit of the mountains behind her, a little bit of Tucson. We didn't emphasize her tattoos. We weren't necessarily trying to hide them, but weren't focusing on them, and just tried to project a very calm, you know, serene, commanding image for her. And she uses those pictures today, which, you know, it's been a few years, so I think those are working for her. But that's a good example of where you're image and branding, even if it's very professional and even if it's beautiful, if it's not really projecting what you want to say about yourself and what you love to do and who you really are, then it's not working for you.
I know this was a topic I really didn't understand until about a year ago when I started working with someone around personal branding, and then of course contacted you to do the photo shoot for me. And it was something, you know, I never knew that, you know, my pictures were overly professional as opposed to the other way. And so you were able to bring out a softer side of me, show a more fun and friendly side of me, which I love. And it is much more me than the other pictures that I had done before.
Well, you don't have many financial people saying, I want these to be like fun, you know? So it was a challenge for me too, right? To think, how do we take, you know, these new things that you're doing and, you know, put in the sort of fun and playful side, but still keep it obviously very professional. And of course, your images are not just one image, right? We were able to do images outside, images inside, images that were literally throwing chocolate coins in the air.
Which is one of my favorite pictures.
Which I love those pictures. They're very fun.
Yeah.
But they're also showing these different sides of you, you know, so that you can use them in different areas.
But you really, I mean, you did exact. So what I love about it is that you took the personal branding and you did exactly what was necessary to create the images that were needed. And Marie does a great job helping me with my clothing so that I'm not looking too overly professional. You know, not that Chanel bow with the suit. you know, the old jewelry kind of thing. She really helps me with that. And then Debbie's got the little highlights in my hair now to make me look a little bit.
Well, when you first came
hip.
To me, your hair was very, very dark.
It was very dark.
Which I felt like was too harsh of a color for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked you into kind of lightening it little by little by little. Baby steps.
So for everybody who's listening, this is like, you need these people. They'll help you. They'll help you feel really great about your pictures and who you are.
You know, there are, you know, tons of books out there on professional dress or, you know, hairstyling or how to take a good headshot. And, you know, there are online stylists now. I'm doing stylists
air quotes.
And I think this conversation is really highlighting how important it is to work with somebody live that knows you, that's going to get to know you, and that can really individualize the solution for you, because there is no one size fits all. You know, even amongst, you know, you might say, oh, a financial planner, you know, you have to be this, you have to be conservative, you have to be, you know, very businessy. It just depends on where you're at in your life, where you're at in your career, what you're looking to, as you said, Debbie, who are you looking to attract more of? And I think having that personalized solution and having experts that can work with you individually is so critical, because it's not a one size fits all.
And it doesn't come online.
No, it doesn't.
No, you don't get this online. Yeah. But I just want to let everybody know we are on Tucson Business X Radio. This is Empower You, and we're here at the Stewart Title Building in downtown Tucson. Okay, so here's the thing. You are working with someone, and you can clearly see a way to make their personal branding work, but it isn't comfortable for the client. What do you do?
I have a lot of that.
Baby steps.
Well, I'm probably the easiest, because with clothes you can try on and then take them off. It's not as much of a commitment as getting your hair cut or your photo shot. And so for me, I always ask women, I say, just humor me. Just try this on. You don't have to buy it. Just put it on your body. And normally, once they get something on that I know is going to look fabulous, and they see it on, then minds will change. And with some of my clients, it's just a matter of getting them to take some baby steps. I may be working with a client and feel that her entire wardrobe is not serving her well, but I'm not going to come in. I'm not going to start with that. I'm not going to start with, let's throw away everything you own and start from scratch. You know, I may pick a, again, after asking a lot of questions, I may pick a specific situation. Maybe she is going to be giving a talk or is looking to attract a certain type of client. So I say, okay, you are looking to do more business with law offices. You know, let's maybe just get you an outfit for that. And let's try something new just for that situation. See how it feels. See what it does for you. And then we can go from there. So sometimes just taking those smaller steps can help.
And I remember being in an event with you, and there was someone we both know, and we both said, try this jacket on. And it was of a color that she would never, ever have considered. And she put it on, and it was stunning.
Yeah.
And we were able to show her how beautiful that looked on her.
Yeah, and that happens a lot, particularly you talked about in the group shopping, in the shows. You know, if I can convince somebody to try something on, she will come out, and it's like the whole group will just gasp, be like, oh my God, that looks so amazing. Or those magic words, you look so thin in that. And yeah, so just getting people to get it on their bodies sometimes will help.
But you're right about clothing and stuff like that you can change, and it's not a permanent commitment, where a haircut or a hairstyle is a little bit more of a permanent mm-hmm. commitment. But I've also had people come in and they'll sit in my chair and say, I want something completely different. And when we start talking about it, really they're completely different is I just want bangs.
Right.
So that's a little bit different for me, because I have to find out, how different do you want to be? Do you want a complete change? And people will say, well, I want to be a lot shorter. Well, a lot shorter is different to people than, you know, a lot shorter might mean a quarter of an inch off.
Right.
But to me, a lot shorter is a lot shorter. So asking questions and that personal commitment from me as a stylist to my clients are that to find out what exactly they mean by what they want to do, mm-hmm. because it is a commitment. And there's times that I have said, are you sure? Because I'm not sure that that's going to look great on you. You know, let's talk about something else. So having that personal commitment with your person that you're working with, plus knowing what they want to do and what their life is like too, helps a lot.
Great. And Bevan?
Yeah, comfort zone is a really big one with me, because I would say most people are not comfortable getting their photo taken. You're in a very vulnerable position because you're trusting someone else with your image. One thing I notice is that when people are nervous, they have a tell. Now, I don't play poker, but if I did, it'd be kind of interesting because I see everyone's tell. So, you know, for some people, it might be rolling their eyes. That's a tricky one. For some people, it's just the deer in the headlights. You know, the camera's down, you're talking, they relax. As soon as I pull the camera up, you know, over my face, is just they freeze, just completely freeze. But actually, one of the most common tells that they're nervous is that their eyebrow shoots up, and it's it's an internal dialogue that they are having in their head that's not conscious, but it's coming out in their body language. They're basically just saying, they're questioning, right? Am I doing this right? Do I look okay? Is this what you want? Is, you know, and it just comes up through their eyebrow. If I point it out, then people can correct it. So I would say with comfort zones, one thing that's good to do is to try to figure out what your body language is when you are in an uncomfortable situation. Because if you're going into a meeting or into something important and you need to feel confident and you don't, you know, your body language is going to, all these tells that I see are coming out when you're, you know, in other situations. So one of the things that I do to counteract that, sometimes I will actually tell people to say out loud, I'm awesome. I might use an expletive with that too, like I'm effing awesome. I actually make them say that. Now, obviously, they'll laugh, which sometimes that's just really good to relax them and get a more natural picture. But it's mostly because, and I'll tell them to say that in their head, put a little sass in it. Because if you change the internal dialogue in their mind, because they don't even realize they're having this like questioning and sort of nervous dialogue, it comes out instantly in their face. Now, I'm looking at little tiny nuances and how people squint their eyes and which way they tilt their heads. And I'm giving them direction. But, you know, there's only a point to which I can do that. So if I can change that internal dialogue, and it's amazing to watch, literally, to make them say, oh, in your head, I want you to think I'm awesome. Their hips change a little bit. They get a little sassier. There's this little tiny squint that comes into your eyes. Actually, in photography, well, Tyra Banks calls it smizing, where you smile with your eyes. But other people call it squinching, where you're sort of this little tiny squint that happens. It's a little muscle under your eye that kind of projects confidence that naturally happens when they're thinking that in their head. So I would suggest, you know, even outside of getting your picture taken, that if you're in a nervous situation, if you can just change your internal dialogue a little bit, it comes out in your body language.
You know, Bevan, I taught before this career, I was a trainer and I taught presentation skills for years. And that was my number one tip for getting over the nerves. It's not picturing people naked or anything like that. It's the more we tell ourselves we're nervous, we're uncomfortable, the more that manifests itself in the body. So it sounds like such a simple thing, but just telling yourself, I'm comfortable, I'm confident, whether you're getting your picture taken or whether you're getting up to give a presentation, has a huge physical impact.
Even if you don't believe it,
exactly,
the fact that you're still replacing a dialogue you might not even realize you're having.
Exactly.
And that then it doesn't leave room for these other thoughts to come in.
And now mostly we've been talking about how we work with women, but I want to know, I mean, I know Debbie, you and Bevan, you both work with men, Marie not as much anymore, but how is it different? How is it different when you're working with a man who needs a little self-confidence or needs to be empowered?
I think it's the same for men. I have a young client and he's just starting out his career in a financial planner type of a situation. And he is very young and we have changed him in the few years that I've been doing his hair from young punky look to a little more professional. And he is getting more compliments on that he does look more professional. And I had that conversation with him. Who do you want to attract? I mean, do your teenage friends have any money to invest? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they had some grandma give them some money or something like that.
Or they had a tech startup that went to $1 billion.
Right, yeah. That too, yep. But it is about the image and what you project. And men need to do it too, just as well as women do. My nephew is a mortgage broker. And he's, again, young. And do you always trust somebody with your money and buying a $500,000 house? Maybe, maybe not. You do still have to project that image of being a professional and confident with what you're doing. And men need it just as well as women.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of difference. They still want to know, what should I wear? you know, I'm still helping them pick out their clothing, even if it's a, just, you know, between these two ties, which one should I wear? You know, they're still thinking about their image just like women are. Now, they get different feedback in general just from society. I think sometimes they don't get quite as much, like as they're aging, you know, negative feedback in that way. But confidence level wise, you know, they still need a lot of help and boost, you know, to get where it is they want to go and project what they want to project.
And like I find that men will listen to me a little bit more than women do.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. They do tend to listen to what I have to say because they came to me because I am a professional. And sometimes women are a little bit more, oh, I'm going to go see what my friends think, which is fine. We have to be around our friends. And they're the ones that give us the boost and the confidence, just telling us the things. But men are more, I like that. Maybe it's because it's a woman telling a man. I don't know. But
I don't know, but maybe it's just the way you are, because I know you're pretty good at that.
That could
as
be
well. I don't know if everybody can say that about the way that they work with people. So it's really great. Now, you're all very, very generous, and you're very giving. I want you to tell me something about giving back. I know, Debbie, you said a little bit about the Cancer Society program you participate in. Can you tell a little bit more about that, about, you know, the difference it makes for the women that you work with?
Well, the American Cancer Society has a program called the Look Good, Feel Better program, and it's specifically put on by hairstylists. I actually train, I was a state trainer for the Look Good, Feel Better program for many years, and I trained other stylists, and we work with women on their hair, the hair loss, their skin, how chemo affects the skin and the nails. And it is a proven fact that if you look better, you get to be feeling better quicker. And the American Cancer Society has available wigs that patients can get to help them with their hair loss. It's a very personal thing. It's all through the Cancer Society. It's free. My services to do that are also free. So that's my way of giving back to the world, if you will, because cancer is a very real thing. And typically everybody will know or either have someone personally that they know or family member that is going through that. And it's like I said, it's the real part of being sick is losing your hair, because that's the part that you can see in the mirror. And to have to have a client that sits in your chair and tells you that they'll be losing their hair is very real for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, something I thought of as you were talking just with the intro, Pam, and this goes along with what you're talking about, because I also work with people who may either just be been diagnosed with an illness or in different stages, how much this all affects the family as mm-hmm. well. And even at lunch today, a friend, her mom has dementia, and she's like, you know what, she won't even be in pictures anymore. She used to be really into having fun and doing selfies with all of us, but she won't do that anymore. I wish I had done a photo session with her. You know, when people are going through hard times, so are their families.
Right.
And, you know, image is not superficial. You know, it's helpful for the person and their confidence, but it's also helpful for the family, because they want to have these memories with you, you know, now and in the future. And a lot of times people don't think of their families and how much their families want to have memories of them, you know.
And honestly, who's going to, if they've lost all their hair, who's going to go have a family portrait taken mm-hmm. without their hair? They won't mm-hmm. do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's helpful to get a wig that they feel comfortable mm-hmm. in, and that they feel like they look at least decent enough to have a picture taken.
And it's so important to the family.
It's so important to the
family.
To
have actually pictures with their loved ones, you know.
That won't be there very long.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Marie, tell us a little bit about what CABI does.
Yeah, sure. One of the reasons I started working with CABI 4 years ago is because they really, at their core, have a mission of empowering women on a global scale. So we have a foundation, the Heart of CABI Foundation, and we do several things. One of the things we do is we fund microloans for women in developing countries. And in many of these countries, like Rwanda, women are really the pillars and the stable force in the society. So when these women get a small loan, I mean, it's an amount that probably most of us have dropped it. One trip to Whole Foods or Target, like $150, $200. They start a produce stand. They start a jewelry business. They grow it. They start employing other members of the town. Their daughters are now able to go to school. So it has a huge, huge impact. And this is not a handout. These are loans. These women pay these loans back. And then that money then goes to fund more loans. Domestically, one of the things we do with our foundation that's very timely right now is we do work with communities affected by natural disaster. So, for example, as soon as things get calmed down a bit in California, as a result of the fires, CABI will be going in and distributing clothing. And you can imagine what some new clothes would mean to a woman who has lost everything. To be able, and it's not just the clothes. We actually do a styling event where the women come in, they get pampered, they get the assistance of a personal stylist, and we make it just really a day all about them, which is so helpful for women whose lives have just been consumed by catastrophe. We also do events on a local level, and I'm so proud to announce and pleased to announce, this is the first time you're hearing this, for years the local Arizona event has always been in Phoenix. This year, we're going to do it in Tucson.
So all right.
We don't have the charity picked out yet, but we will be doing something locally in conjunction with a local charity here in Tucson this coming year.
That's wonderful. And Bevan, I know you're very involved with the Temwani Foundation that you were one of the founding members of, and you have done marvelous work there. Anything you want to share about that?
So Temwani, it's the Temwani Children's Foundation, TEMWANI.org. this is a group that I started with some friends, probably around 12, 13 years ago now. We work with orphaned and vulnerable children in Zambia in Africa. And our biggest project has been to build a primary school for grades 1 through, well, now they're going into 8. It's always expanding. The children get 2 meals a day and a lot of attention and love. And I've been there a number of times to work at the school and with the kids and as the school was being built. And it's a Zambian-run school. We don't tell them how to run the school. They do the Zambian curriculum. I'm very proud to be a part of it and to, make such a big impact in these children's lives, because even just the food, if you are hungry, it's very hard to learn. And many of these children don't have any food when they leave the school or on the weekends. So having, a breakfast and a lunch is huge. And it's also just a place of protection. Most of these kids are not, living with their parents anymore, or they might be with a relative or a friend, but there's a lot of work for them to do. These are areas that there's no running water, very little electricity in any of these neighborhoods. So being at home means working. You're collecting water from, sometimes miles away. That you're not doing homework, or and especially not playing, right? You're not playing with friends. So when they're at the school, they get to just be kids.
That's wonderful. And it's, it is the season of giving. And so I just wanted everybody to get an opportunity to speak a little bit about what's dear to their heart in that. But Bevan, you've also just launched a new line, a lifestyle collection of vintage silks and hand-dyed textiles. Tell us why you started this and what kinds of items you've created and where can people see this collection?
Not many places yet. when I was mentioning before that I didn't realize I'd be doing so much styling in my photography work, that's a big part of it. I started, you know, just creating and sewing things for clients to wear in photo shoots. And I'm a very creative person. I've always, you know, done creative things, drawing and painting. So I decided that I also wanted to learn how to sew. It's also been a good distraction for me from just personal, you know, health things, to kind of focus on this. But, you know, I started collecting all these beautiful vintage silk fabrics from all over the world, but a lot from Japan. It was inspired by a kimono and some fabrics that my grandfather brought back from the 1930s. And I really loved all the handmade aspects to these fabrics. They're mostly hand painted, hand stenciled, hand woven. And just being an artist myself, I appreciated that. And it's also kind of a part of the slow fashion movement where you're, you know, reusing, recycling textiles. And then I get to recreate a lot of these as well with natural dyes. So right now it's based more on accessories, you know, using the scraps for jewelry, making sort of more sort of jacket tops and scarves and belts. Right now I'm just doing some private trunk shows, but hopefully next year we'll have some things online. I have a show, my last show is on Wednesday, so you can private message me if you want to come.
And I believe the way to connect with you is going to be available on the website in very soon. So that'll be. But I'm going to give you a chance to say something about that at the end. Again, we're in the holiday season. For some people, this is a difficult time of year. They may be lonely or feeling down for many reasons. There's all kinds of reasons. What is one thing that a woman or a man can do to boost their mood? And what would be a great gift that you could help someone find for the person who isn't really into the holiday season but would like to feel better?
I had an opportunity at one time, and it was around the Christmas season. This client came in, and she'd been coming in a couple of years. We did her hair and talked, and she, as she left, she said to me, she says, "Well," she says, "I was going to go home and take my own life, and you've changed my mind." So having your hair done, mm-hmm. making yourself feel better, can sometimes change your whole outlook on the way life is and the way you're looking at life. So if you're feeling down, sometimes that is a way for you to lift your spirits and or make somebody else's spirits lifted too. I always say that hair products, they're never taken back because you can always use them.
That's great.
I would say a way to make yourself feel better is to do something for somebody else. Give back, volunteer. You know, I can be on my worst day, but I still have a roof over my head. I still have food to eat. I still have a spouse who loves me and supports me. And I still have my health. And there's an awful lot of people out there who don't have any or all of those things. So I think whether it's, you know, just doing a day at the food bank or, you know, going down, if you're an animal lover, you know, volunteering at PAC for the day, I think giving back is a huge way to shift perceptions. And as far as gifts, buy something for somebody else that you know would boost their mood, or even, you know, buy a couple of pieces of clothing or jewelry or whatever and donate them, you know, donate them to somebody who really, really needs them and that it would have to somebody for whom that one simple thing could have a huge impact on their life.
Yeah, there are many ways to empower others. Today we've been talking about how we feel when we look our best. Whether you're a diamonds and gown gal or a jeans and boots kind of girl, do and wear what is going to make you feel and look your best. Once you have the look, stand in front of the mirror and do a power pose like Wonder Woman or Superman to start your day. This has been Empower You, and I am Pam Hopman, your host. Thank you for listening.